Hussein Jalil is still in prison in China and is likely to stay there for a long time. Canada's foreign affairs minister was in China and met at length with the foreign minister yesterday, but he failed to convince him that Mr. Jalil is a Canadian citizen and so deserves visits from Canadian consular officials. The Chinese minister did say that Mr. Jalil has not been tortured. But that is small comfort to his family and the groups working to secure his release. My colleague joins me now with the latest, Lynn Desjardins. Welcome, Lynn.
Hi, Mark.
Well, Mr. Jalil's family and supporters had pinned a lot of hope on the visit by Peter McKay to China. What happened?
Oh, they sure did, Mark. But the foreign affairs minister's talks with his Chinese counterpart, you know, they were the latest in about 200 diplomatic interventions on behalf of Mr. Hussein Jalil. As you know, Mr. Jalil is an ethnic Uyghur who grew up in China. He was a political activist there, and he was arrested and imprisoned. He escaped in 2000 and fled the country. Eventually went to Canada. He went to a few other countries first, but he came to Canada where he claimed refugee status. Now, it took a while, but that was granted, and he became a citizen of Canada in 2005. 1 year later, he was visiting his wife's relatives in Uzbekistan when he was arrested and deported to China. There was an extradition treaty between Uzbekistan and China. So he was tried for organizing, leading, and participating in terrorist groups and was recently handed a life sentence, which he plans to appeal. Now, in the meantime, China refuses to recognize Mr. Jalil's citizenship and refuses to let Canadian consular officials visit him, as you said.
Yeah. So what was Canada's Foreign Affairs Minister, Peter McKay, able to do on this visit?
Well, Mr. McKay met for almost 4 hours, Mark, with his counterpart and one other senior Chinese official. He discussed the Jalil case extensively, but he was not able to meet with anyone from the Communist Party leadership or security officials who might be more connected with the case. We're not sure if he tried, if that was refused. We really don't know. I asked Mr. Jalil's Canadian lawyer, Chris McLeod, what he thought the foreign minister actually accomplished.
I think his accomplishment isn't going to be seen, and we didn't expect it to be an immediate release and return of Jalil from this meeting. However, I think it was important that the Minister McKay be assertive. I understand he was. I think what was accomplished was message sent, message received. At the highest levels, China once again heard our officials and our minister reiterate that we want his release and return, we want assurances of consular access, and that he wasn't tortured. That message needs to continue to be echoed at subsequent meetings between officials here and officials in China.
Well, Lynn, it sounds like there wasn't a lot accomplished on this.
Well, you know, Mark, the real sticking point is that China just won't recognize Mr. Jalil's Canadian citizenship. Under international agreements, China would be obliged to allow Canada to send diplomats to visit any Canadian citizen who is jailed in China. However, lawyer Chris McLeod says there was no progress made on that point.
China's holding firm that he is not a Canadian citizen in their worldview, and that they will grant us no access, and that this is an internal Chinese matter. We need to continue to press at the highest levels. Our Prime Minister has, Minister McKay has, Department of Foreign Affairs has. That pressure needs to be persistent and continuous until we have his release and return.
Well, did, in fact, anything positive come out of this meeting?
Well, as you mentioned, Mark, the Chinese officials did tell our foreign minister that Hussein Jalil had not been tortured. But Amnesty International Canada has been heavily involved in this case, and spokesperson Cheryl Hotchkiss is not convinced by the Chinese assurances.
We greet that with some degree of skepticism. We do know that there is a history of ill treatment and potentially torture in Chinese detention facilities, and we ourselves have documented it with individuals who have come out of those facilities, and we do have concerns because Hussein Jalil said himself in open court that he confessed to some crimes under the influence of torture. And so as a result, we believe that the only way that this can be dealt with is to allow for an independent investigation into those allegations.
And that was Amnesty International Canada spokesperson Cheryl Hotchkiss. Lynn, what else can Canada do to try to help Mr. Jalil?
Well, his Canadian lawyer thinks there are other ways that Canada can put pressure on China.
We see a window of opportunity with the Beijing Olympics in 2008. it's China's opportunity to showcase to the world that it is a tolerant and modern nation in the 21st century. One of the reasons what they were given the games, in part when the IOC granted it, was that it would be part of helping to further China's human rights record. It would afford China an opportunity to showcase its human rights, and I think Beijing needs to be reminded of that.
Now, Mark, I spoke with a longtime China expert and advisor to the Canadian government, Charles Burton. He's now a professor of political science at Brock University. He thinks Canada has lost the battle to convince the Chinese that Mr. Jalil is a Canadian citizen and should be granted consular access. He thinks Canada should maybe argue for access based on the concerns of Canadians and his family, which lives in Canada. And he agrees that the Olympics offer an opportunity to put pressure on China.
I think it's important that we get the consular agreement between Canada and China clear, and if it appears that Canadian citizens of Chinese origin are at risk when they travel to China, the Canadian government may wish to make a travel advisory to inform those Canadians that they might want to keep out of China and countries that have extradition treaties with China, because it's possible that they won't be extended consular protection if they happen to get into trouble. And that would put some pressure on the Chinese government in the sense that it would affect Canadian participation in the Olympics, for example. So I think that it would be good if the Chinese government kept consistent with their international obligations and their bilateral treaties and made a clear statement on how they regard Canadians of Chinese origin with Canadian passports when they are in China.
Hmm. Well, Lynn, what happens next then?
Well, Mr. Jalil stays in prison and tries to launch an appeal of his life sentence. The Canadian government continues to try to send diplomats to see him, continues to try to put pressure, as do many of the non-governmental groups which are supporting him, such as Amnesty International, Canada's Uyghur Association, B'nai B'rith, and different faith groups. But you've got to listen to the last word from China expert Charles Burton.
I'm frankly very disturbed about this matter, and I wish that it hadn't got to this state. And now that we've got it in such a difficult conundrum, it's very hard to untie it.
Mm. Well, Lynn, thank you very much for bringing us this story.
You're welcome, Mark.
And that is RCI's Lynn Desjardins here in Montreal.